Okay, hello from Caroline Tapkin here for Travel Daily, Inspiring Women in Travel Asia. And today we're joined by Chuleng Go, who is General Manager of the Athenae Hotel in Bangkok. So welcome, and please introduce yourself and tell us who you are and what you do.
Thank you, Caroline. So yes, my name is Chuleng. I'm from Singapore. I've lived in Thailand for over 30 years, and in Thailand, people call me Chu for short. People in Thailand love to have nicknames. So I'm currently working in the Athenae Hotel, a luxury collection hotel in Bangkok, as a general manager. And this is part of the Marriott International Group, and I've been with Marriott for over 20 years. So on my personal ground, I am mother of two daughters, young daughters. Well, not so young now, 23 years old and 19. They're still my babies, and a lovely husband that have been supporting me for all these years.
That's fantastic. I mean, how did you get into the hospitality business?
Well, my education background is hotel. So when I finished school, I thought it's very, very natural that I'd step into a hotel. But I actually couldn't get a job in a hotel in my first year because everyone tells me you need experience. And I wonder why. How come I have experience when I'm not even given a first experience opportunity? So I joined a business, international business company to try to deal business. And after a year, I was doing well. But after a year, I thought, I still need to go back to hotels. So I tried knocking doors, cold calls. I mean, 30 years ago, we were still on yellow pages. So I was calling every general manager by cold calls. And then you have to always pass through a secretary that would ask you 100 questions. Why are you calling the general manager? And I remember I always said it's personal. So in the end, I actually managed to get my call. I managed to get my interview. So yeah, I got my job as a catering salesperson.
So that's how I started. Perseverance
is key. Never give up on your first try.
And how did your business year in business help you? Did it help at all?
The
year that you took out where you couldn't find a job in hospitality, you were working in business.
Yeah, definitely. In that job, I meet a lot of foreigner because it's trying to do business with a joint venture with two countries together. So I learned a lot from the CEO, how to make relationship and prepare business proposal. So I was learning different things. Like I said, I did really well, but I wanted to work in hotels. I just thought that I should give it a try before I said, nah, maybe it's not for me. But and after trying, I got stuck. 30 years later, still
never
here.
Never look back.
Never look back.
So from catering manager, catering assistant?
I started as a catering coordinator. And remember the F&B director was interviewing me and he said, do you know how to sell? I said, no, I don't. But if someone is willing to teach me, I'll do it. And he said, how much would you like to be paid? I said, I really don't mind because I really want to get into the job. So he gave me a catering sales coordinator job and then put some senior executives to help me up and teach me. And I remember one interview question he asked me, what would you like to be in your next 20 years or next 10 years? Like, what is your eventual position that you really want to do? And I said, a general manager. Since I'm stepping into this industry, I'm going for a general manager. And he actually laughed. Laughed in a nice way. He said, oh, okay, good for you. And it was interesting.
I mean, 30 years ago, that was quite an ambition, wasn't it? For
exactly, because
for a girl, particularly.
Maybe smiling for other reasons. So actually, I will tell you later that I caught up with him about 10 years ago when I'm already a general manager and we had a catch up. He was laughing and laughing. He said, I really didn't expect you to be a general manager, but you're doing really well. So he congratulated me.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So what was the track? What was the path that you took from catering coordinator? How did you get to where you are now?
So catering coordinator, sales and operations, and I was selling a lot. I learned how to sell, and it's really servicing the clients. And my boss was very happy with the numbers I was bringing in, and he said, "Can you run a team? You know, rather than you convert business yourself, can you run a team?" So all of a sudden, I was given four more people. I keep on expanding the business. Then I start to run the operations. So yeah, it was very fast promotion because I was like doing everything, and they just love it. So at that time, the hotel doesn't have a lot of meeting space. So I suggested to my boss, can we do outside catering? Because, you know, we should find more revenue, and relying just on that couple of meeting rooms is not going to bring us a lot of business. And he said, okay, let's do it. So that's how we expanded the business.
I mean, that
And
must have
then
been quite new for, again, thinking back 30 years,
30 years, yeah.
people were
So I
not
was in
thinking
my
like that.
mid-20s. Yeah, I was in my mid-20s. Then after that, because I love selling so much, I moved to sales and marketing. And that was like first half of my experience until about 15 years ago. I moved back to operations, running my noodle shop here.
It's a very fancy noodle shop.
Yeah, and that's a different story why I moved back to operations, but I really like it. Yeah.
And I see from your LinkedIn profile, you are marketing co-chair of TICA, which is the Thailand
Yeah.
Incentive and Conventions Association. How did you get into
Right.
that?
So guess it was about, yeah, eight years now, 8, 9 years ago. So I've been in this job for over 10 years. So after a few years, things get a little bit normal. You know, I know the job much better. I have a stronger team. And then I think it's also time to also give back to the industry. So the industry needs to market the country to be more international, a place to have meetings. And then I support the other committee, which is about learning. So building the industry's knowledge to meet the standard. Because if you study or follow Thailand, Thailand has been doing really well for traveling and meetings a lot, to a stage whereby it's very difficult to find talents in the industry. So one of the things, being a part of the association, is committed to train and to, you know, train you know, giving coaching to the industry and building more talents through universities and through talents that are already in the industry, and then just brush up higher skills, better skills.
And how
Yeah.
receptive are you finding the youngsters?
So a few things we do. We do a few, like we make a plan for the year and do a few training programs for the members. And the members are usually PCOs, DMCs, hotels, and they will send us salespeople to attend the training course. We also go to universities, do a lot of career talks to encourage them to join this industry, such a wonderful industry. It is hard work, but it's a happy industry. We are here to create memories for people. So, yeah, that's how we continue to build more people into the industry.
And do you find that the Thai students are still interested in joining the hospitality industry?
Yeah. So when we first started, and I don't know if you are familiar with Slido, you know, like that online chats. You know, when you attend a conference, you don't have to raise your hand. You can just put an online chat, and the speaker could see it. So when we do a career talk to young university students, like year three, year four, a couple of hundred, and we go to different universities. So we'd be talking about like, what would you like to do when you graduate? I think more than half, they said, I'll join the entertainment industry. I will study. My parents have my own little business. So they study travel, hotel, tourism, but they're not actually going to join hotels. So once we started explaining what you could do in hotels, like how could you move your career, you know, you can start up with something, and then you can end up to become senior executives in large companies in different local chains as well. So towards the end, we did another survey or like a poll check, and 80% said, I'm now wanting to work in the hotel. So for us, that is like small success. You know, you move people wanting from not wanting to become wanting and have the interest of coming into the industry.
So you would think if they were studying travel, they would understand what hotels and hospitality was about. Where do you think that disconnect comes?
Looking at the curriculum, they are studying a lot on really like a mega picture, like tourism. So it's a lot like a big picture thing rather than really like hotels where you know how to check in guests, where you know how to do kitchen planning or food and beverage service or restaurant management. They don't actually drill so much details into it. It's more of like a big picture of a tourism. So we bring them more of the technical skills and trying to support the universities. Yeah. Actually, currently, I'm still sitting on some of the boards to help them with a new curriculum. You know, every few years, they have to update their curriculum to the Ministry of Education. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I would join to always include sustainability, my passion. Ethical, business ethics is another one that I want them to be to learn this since university. So it's not just a tick the box. It is like critical to be part of the education.
Mm. All right. Sustainability. Why is that a passion and what does that mean for you?
Well, you know, when about 8-9 years ago as well, when, you know, the London Olympics had the ISO 2012 one, the first in the world. So we're the first hotel in the world to actually achieve that too. So this gentleman, his name is Guy Bigwood, and he was a speaker in one of the events organized by TSEP, and he inspired me so much that I must do something about my hotel. And he was explaining about how you can organize events to be like events management to be more sustainable. Like there's a checklist, how you can follow through step-by-step, how do you transform your hotel or your business space and meeting space to be more sustainable. So yeah, we did quite a bit of homework and then worked with a few authorities and companies that help us for the certification. It was great. And until today, we pledge for zero food waste. We do events that are calculating, you know, carbon footprint and things like that. And it's just teaching us to be responsible. And you work in hotels. Yeah. And you work in hotels. We have so much waste everywhere. You look at it anywhere, there's always waste. So it's not trying to be perfect. It's really step by step and progress to be better every day. That's what I believe.
Yeah, I remember working in Pattaya in Thailand years ago, 25 years ago or whatever, when the Green Leaf program started.
Yes.
So the origins of sustainability, and it's progressed so much since then.
Yeah.
Some of the key things that you're doing in the hotel for sustainability?
So, okay, we actually have a sustainable storybook. I can share with you later. So the storybook is about, one of the things is, you know, rice is a very main important staple in the country. Everyone eats rice, yeah? So all our rice consumption, we buy it directly from farmers that only do organic farming. So organic products generally is a lot or a few percentage higher than a non-organic food. However, when you purchase it directly, the cost goes down. So we started the project by striking a price with the farmers. So the farmers, when they sell to a third party, at that time it was around 10, 12 baht per kilo. Okay, they usually do a ton, but they do 10, 12 baht. And I was purchasing rice for non-organic rice, 30 over baht, something along those lines. So we had a discussion to how would you like to sell directly when you polish your rice to us? And this is the price we are paying. I have no intention to reduce the price. And if you can cover with the cost and delivering directly to us, let's have a deal. So the rest is history. We consume like 2 tons per month, just rice alone. I'm a large banquet operations hotel. So then I help to connect with other hotels so that when he transferred his rice, he could do a few stops to make his transportation, like maximize the volume. So yeah, and we've been working like, yeah, 6-7 years now on the rice project. So this is one.
Local farmers as well as getting organic rice. And
exactly, because this is like triple win. He has much better life because he doesn't have to, you know, owe the bank and rely on a third party that press down his pricing. We, on the other hand, enjoy organic rice at a very reasonable pricing. So even my canteen food is organic because of our partners with all the farmers. It does make working or coordination a bit harder for the team because we're coordinating with farmers, but everything is possible if you try.
And once you've done it, it becomes second nature.
It becomes, yeah, a second nature, and you wouldn't do it otherwise. You wouldn't do it in another way if you're going to be given another chance to think about it. So really happy with the farmers project. And then we did also like, we are very large wedding hotel events. You may have read about the hotel. So we do massive weddings. And one thing about weddings is a lot of flowers. So yes, you cannot have a wedding without flowers, which is not easy. We had one organizer was really, really good, and they decorated the backdrop as potted flowers. And it was a giveaway for the guests at the end of the evening. So that was quite cute. But yes, most of the events are a lot of flowers. So what we do is the flowers that are not, I mean, after the event, we use this to make potpourri. And then we make it as a gift, turn down and things like that for our guests. So we just recycle it.
Fantastic.
So that's another thing. Yeah. So it's quite a few things. So I could send you the, I could keep on talking, but I could send you the storybook. Every year we try to do something.
That's another interview topic.
Yeah. Thank you.
One of the things you're known for is women empowerment. So why is that? Why are you known for that?
So I'm blessed in coming to this industry. I started the industry whereby when I was looking back, every general manager is, especially five-star luxury, is always a European, middle-aged man, really looking cool. I mean, I'm really not that, you know, prototype. And I've been blessed that I came to this industry, and opportunities are unlimited. And talking to a few colleagues, or many of my friends and colleagues, they feel that, oh no, you know, to come in to have a good career, you have a good career, you may not have a good family, or you have a good family, you don't have time for career. And I said, no, it's not true. You can have everything, you know, and you don't have to choose, because men never being asked to choose. Why women should be given the choice to choose? So I think maybe by speaking more into the industry or sharing my experience could help inspire more people to want to and believe that they could, you know. And being a mother doesn't mean your career ends. No, it doesn't. It's not. I mean, especially a lot of women are so capable. The workforce needs you. And a lot of times, the companies need you more than you think. But that's another story, because women tend to talk down to themselves, like they're not as confident, whereas our male counterpart, with due respect, are a little bit more confident than women, generally.
Yeah, we have different conversations going on in our own heads.
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges that you faced then and faced and overcome as a woman in your industry?
I'd like to say there's no challenge. I would share it as an experience. So there is the guest expecting you, maybe owners expecting you to be a certain prototype, you know, to represent the brand. So starting with guests, when I first took the hotel as a general manager. I remember because this hotel, the Attenay Hotel, used to be a Plaza Attenay Bangkok, a Royal Meridian, meaning it's a Le Meridian brand. And meaning is like so-called French European descendant. So when one day I was introducing myself to a Frenchman, and then I'm the current general manager, I said, wow, Le Meridian is not having a French general manager. I remember I just joked it and I said, well, yes, I know I look a bit Italian, but yeah, I'm actually French origin. Just to tease it, you know, so I don't take it personal, and there's nothing wrong whether you are French or you're Italian. Doesn't mean you'll be doing better or less, you know, for a job. So with a guest was that was one. I had another guest that was precious. When he saw me, he said, I've never seen a lady general manager. Oh, my God.
That must have been a few years ago because there are several around now. Yeah.
No, that was over 10 years ago. And he's a very senior gentleman. And his wife was so embarrassed because and he just blurted out that I've never met her. Lady general manager. And I just jokingly said, well, the last time I checked, I'm still a female. Something wrong. You know, and we are now good friends. So he's always telling me the joke about how we first met. And that was the story.
Yeah, but you're right about the stereotype and what people expect to see. And it is the middle-aged European gentleman.
Yeah.
But yeah. Thailand is at the forefront, really, of breaking those stereotypes. I mean, you've got some really strong women in Thailand at all levels of the industry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I remember when I first started operations and a female leader in as a general manager, as a hotel manager at that time, there was this reporter or media and asked me, like, how do you feel in a male dominant business? And do you feel left out, or do you feel that you are a bit weaker, or you know, this kind of job needs very strong person? I said, when you say strong, are you referring to muscle strength, or what kind of strength are we referring to? Because as a female, I think I'm very strong in many, many ways. Maybe not the muscle, and I'm not here on a sparring with any other people. So I would use my strength. So my strength of negotiation and my strength of charm or anything else, I can get by with a lot of things without showing my muscle. So that's what I told him.
Yes.
And he said, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Who inspired you?
Started very young was my mom. I remember when I completed my high school, my mom was, I said, mom, I'm not going to study anymore. It's too much. I'm going to just work. So I found a very good job in an insurance company, this little secretary, having great time, dressing out, going out with friends and things like that. For almost a year. Then my mom was saying, okay, your brother is going to uni now. Your sister is going to uni soon. They're about 2-3 years younger than me. And you'll be the only one left out with the only high school grad. It's definitely your choice. However, and my mom is just, she's not really educated. She's like primary school. So she can't read any English words, a few Chinese words. And she said, if there's one thing I could do in my life is to really study and graduate. So you have the opportunity. And as a woman, it's very important to have your own career and be independent. And if you one day are lucky to marry a husband that is good, consider that as a bonus, not a demand. So rely on yourself first. I thought about it. She was right. And that's where I decided to go. So she is
great advice, isn't it? Rely on yourself.
She's celebrating her 86-year-old birthday in and 1st of April. So I'll be going there to do a cruise with her.
Oh, fantastic. Yes. Is she in Singapore?
Yeah, she's in Singapore, and Singapore has this cruise called Cruise Nowhere. So a couple of nights with the family, that would be great. Yeah.
How have you managed to balance family, raising children and working in hospitality? How was that?
Everyone's balance is different. There's really no right and wrong. So it really depends on the individual. So how I started when I was going into pregnancy, and as a woman, we have to be pregnant ourselves. It's like I said, we can't even delegate that out. So it's very obvious. You're pregnant two times, and there are certainly downtime. So there are certain times when I was pregnant, I took a job that doesn't require a lot of traveling. And I was very lucky. You know, every time I need to change my career into a different kind of job scope, I always get it. So after I have my babies, and when they were growing up, I was doing a lot of traveling. But again, when they were growing up, I was doing regional role, and it's not on property. So I could be doing work from home with a, you know, good laptop. And in the evening, I spend time with them and 9 p.m. and then start working again. So my team think, oh my God, she's so hardworking. I said, nah, darling, I've been taking a 5 hours break in between, and now I'm just starting to finish a little bit of my job. So I balance it out in different times when the girls are growing up. Yeah.
We do have to approach things differently. As you say, yes, we can't delegate pregnancy.
But, yes.
I mean, that is a great story to tell, that it is possible. If you want to continue working and continue in your career, there are ways to do both.
Definitely. And my husband is also very supportive, and we take turns. It's not like, I mean, my husband is Thai, and that's one of the reasons I've been living in Thailand. So it's not like, this is totally your job and my job is something else. So it's really a shared responsibility. So yeah, and one of the things is with my colleagues here, and someone is like working, so they nurse at the hotel, you know, when they were breastfeeding or saving the milk, or even I give them, regardless of the level, to have a laptop that they can work at home rather than she has to physically do her work only at the hotel, you know, just do more flexi hours, whatever that is fits her, because certain times you need to pick up the babies from the babysitter before bringing home, you know, your daycare and things like that. Just flexi hours, you know, and it's really depending one person different from another person. Just be flexible. And don't be shy to actually tell your supervisor. A lot of women don't do that. They say, oh, you know, I have to come to work this time, I have to leave that time, so I have to find a way for my own family. No, if it doesn't work, share with a supervisor and discuss a solution together. Sorry. That's what I would recommend, basically. Don't be shy, ask.
Okay, but that's fairly unusual, isn't it, to have that flexibility in your industry, wouldn't you say?
So in our industry, managing a hotel, you have operations and you have office associates. So office associates is a lot easier. A lot of systems, you don't really have to be at the hotel. And really nothing stops from you working from home. That is easy fix, especially now after COVID, we should learn something from it.
Well, I mean, there's been a lot more working from home, hasn't there? So yes, let's hope that flexibility continues.
Definitely.
Managers are not demanding that you're checking in at 8 and checking out at 5 or 6 and no flexibility again.
So if you are, yeah, exactly. And if you are working in the operations, let's say if you're a front desk associates or food and beverage, and all these jobs have a back of house job, you don't have to be at the front. Mm-hmm. And take pregnancy as an opportunity to learn something else. It's awesome. I love being pregnant. Just can do that again. I just love it. It's such a great experience. And I love being a woman to be able to experience that, because my male counterpart will never be able to experience that. So I love it.
And it is a mindset. If you go into it with the attitude that it's the time you can learn something else and you can step back into a role or change roles, then it's mindset. It's not the end of the world. You can do everything.
Yes, it's not the end of the world. Yeah, totally.
So one of the other things you're known for is change maker. What makes you a change maker?
I'm not sure. usually what we do, our success of yesterday is history of today, right? So it means if we keep continuing doing things like what we've done last year, we will not do the same success. I can guarantee you. At most, we'll be the same, but at 90%, we wouldn't be. So we must always try to transform ourselves to be more in trend or update, whether it's service provider, segment, or product, or selling, or whichever department of the hotel. Everyone should try to transform to do something different. Don't just copy paste and change the year. It doesn't work like that. The world is no longer like that.
So adaptability and again, flexibility.
Yes, yes.
What advice would you give to the youngsters? What advice would you give to your kids if they want to enter the hotel business?
Raising my children, they are very matured and I'm really, really proud of them. They're very matured young ladies. And I've never been worried about them, about not doing their homework. If they sleep late in the night, and you know, young kids, if you have, they don't like to sleep at night and they stretch as a night. And at most, I would say, you know, that tomorrow, if you can't wake up, there's a consequence. You'll be in a bad mood, you know, because you had little sleep, but in the end, it's your choice. So they do their own homework because they know there's a consequence if they don't do their homework with the school. So yeah, my kids are pretty responsible for what they do. And they see the parents working. And we always said that we are responsible in our life in different ways. So right now your responsibility is completing your studies. And our responsibility is, you know, doing our job well. We can share the private moments over weekends and things like that to do, you know, family activities. So they have always been very, very responsible. And I've never asked my daughter or tell them, no, you must do this. We don't do that at home. It's more like, I want to study this. And I said, okay, why do you want to do that? It's more of like a chit chat. And like my eldest daughter is studying a game design and I have no idea what that is. And what would she need my support for the rest of her life? You know, I wouldn't know that. But yeah, she seems to be doing well herself and she's done all her homework due diligence before she took on the course. So yeah. So with young girls or young university students, I think for them is don't be shy to come into the industry. You have to work hard. It doesn't come easy. I'm not saying that you know, everything will be placed in front of you for you to choose. You should come in with a mindset that you're willing to want to work hard. And when you work hard, don't be shy to ask. You know, if you've been working in this job for a while and you see there's a position available, ask, can I apply for the job? And if your supervisor is saying, you're not getting this job, ask then again, why aren't I, you know, what do I need to do? Or what do I need to improve to get a job? And don't be shy. A no or rejection is not going to kill you.
Yeah, that's right? Good advice. Step forward, yeah. Speak up.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you say for your future? What's your future like?
Well, you know, working is a choice. It's a choice I really want to do. And I would like to do more for the industry. I think the industry could do a lot of support, especially on the education part. And sustainability is something that I continue to want to do more. So I'm also champion for Marriott, for sub-champion for the Bangkok region for sustainability under the Marriott Thailand Business Council, because I really believe in it. And I don't have a problem to drive my other general managers crazy, you know, me bugging them to do stuff. So I just love it. And I think we all should be a bit more responsible. So yeah. So I think my next few years, I will continue to do that. It's not about any career growth. I just want to do what is right. and write for the people in my hotel that, you know, that's been with us for the last few years. And we've gone through a lot and really love them also. Yeah, they inspire me every single day.
Yeah. I think that's a perfect point to end on. That's where you get your inspiration every day.
Yes, thank you.
Around you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time today. It's been fascinating talking to you. And I wish you every success. We look forward
Thank
to
you.
More sustainability and more change making and more female general managers.
Yes. Well, really, thank you so much for your time. And I really hope one day you come to Bangkok and maybe we could catch up in person rather than through Zoom.
I look forward to that. Maybe sooner than you think.
Yeah, maybe.
Thank you so much again.